Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right. good morning. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. I love this headline that is on MSDNC right now as you're tuning in this morning, a few minutes after 7 on your Tuesday morning. So what happens? What happened this week? China has put tariffs on us. Apparently they're going to put tariffs on us now. But Canada and Mexico folded like a cheap house of cards. Donald Trump said, you're going to do what we want, or we're going to put tariffs on you. They griped about it for a couple of days, and then they completely buckled. Marco Rubio called them and said, this is what we want. They're like, okay, and it was done. This is the headline on MSDNC this morning. Trump blinks on North American tariffs. They took that story. That's apparently a headline in the Wall Street Journal this morning. The editorial board, they're blaming Trump for blinking on North American tariffs. Trump got exactly what he wanted from Canada and Mexico, but this is how the mainstream media tries to turn stories around in this country. And now it's the Wall Street Journal, the Wall Street Journal has been wrong on tariffs since they were first thought up. I mean, I know they haven't been around that long, but still, they've always been wrong on it. Trump's called them out on it, and they're wrong on it again, and they're blaming him for blinking. I've got a soundbite here, if you haven't heard it yet this morning, where Donald Trump was explaining what he would do. So it would have been 4 years before he ever ran, announced he was running for president. He's giving a speech, and he was talking about exactly what he's doing today in 2024. This was 2012. So 12 years, a long time ago, 2012 was when he was doing it, saying, here's what we should do. This just makes sense. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. I've got some great sound. We've got Todd Pyro coming up. We got Jason Chaffetz. I can't wait to get Jason on here. Obviously, former member of the House of Representatives. He's been a Fox News contributor for a long time. And, I mean, he's got to be loving this, too. And I'll ask him about that headline. But Donald Trump is doing what he promised to do, and the left wants you to believe that Elon Musk is in charge. Honestly, that NBC went out this morning and they interviewed Bill Gates because they wanted another billionaire's opinion on what this billionaire is getting away with. Of course, Gates and Musk don't get along, and Gates attacked him over his recommended cuts of USAID.
Well, Gates would be among those like Mark Cuban, who are just anything Trump does, they're going to probably be against it. But if Biden were in office and he were suggesting something similar, because it's really not about the tariff, he's doing this to protect our border. And that's to me the main driver of this. And that's exactly what's happening. For Mexico, they're sending 10,000 troops to the border. And the hope is that it's going to stop all of this nonsense from happening, where these illegals are pouring over our border and bringing in so much fentanyl, mostly from China. And so it'd be interesting to see what Gates' reaction would have been if, say, Biden had suggested this.
Yeah, the insane clown posse that's going on up here, this is just the greatest example of it. Gates' point is, I've given billions of dollars to the same programs that Elon Musk wants to cut. Are you kidding me? I have no problem with that. Let's use all of Bill Gates' money that we can, and no more taxpayer dollars for this garbage. There might be a few good programs in there, but the vast majority of them are a waste of U.S. tax dollars, and Donald Trump is telling it like it is. It's absolutely amazing to me. We'll get to Todd Pyro coming up. Right now, I want to get to a few of our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I love the concept of it.
Yeah, that's the program.
Sure, I love the concept, but they turn out to be radical left lunatics. And the concept of it is good, but it's all about the people.
Yeah, that's the concept of USAID. It's a great idea when it's not wasting taxpayer dollars.
This is a constitutional crisis that we are in today. Let's call it what it is. The people get to decide.
Yeah, apparently when you're goring Chris Murphy's ox, it's a constitutional crisis. A group of Democrats, senators, and House members gathered in front of the in front of Congress yesterday, in front of the Capitol building, to declare their outrage at saving money.
From the beaches of Normandy to the mountains of the Korean Peninsula, from the fields of Flanders to the streets of Kandahar, we have fought and died alongside you.
Anybody buying what Justin Trudeau is selling there? Because he buckled and said, why are you treating us like an enemy? We fought beside. It's not about that, Justin. It's just about being fair when it comes to trade and securing your border with a few more Mounties. That's what we want.
You have to give Trump a little credit so far. He has had some success with this behavior modification strategy so far.
Yeah. Yes, he has. Donald Trump, you know what he should do? He shouldn't do a TED Talk. He should do a master class in behavior modification for all parents in America. Don't you think?
He'd be effective.
I'll bet he would. And, you know, for some reason, I don't envision Donald Trump as the one who was, when little Don Trump Jr. was running around being bad, taking the belt off and correcting him. Maybe he did. I don't know. But that's the kind of behavior modification that he's applying to trade issues. And that's what we were going to talk about a little later with Jason Chaffetz. So I think that's important that we talk about those things because it's effective. If you're going to modify somebody's behavior, you have to get their attention, right? Telling your child no, 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 and waving your finger at it doesn't get the job done. Sitting him in the corner in timeout doesn't get the job done because that's not really punishment. It's not. It may take them away from their favorite toy for a few minutes, but they don't feel anything from that. Donald Trump, maybe that's why the Wall Street Journal thinks he blinked because he didn't go through with his tariffs. Well, he got what he wanted. He modified their behavior with the threat, which, Kim, I've got to come in. It worked with me. I don't know how many people listening out there grew up the way I did, but, you know, the sound of the leaves being taken off a willow branch was enough to get my attention after I was hit with that switch once just before that. And if I saw that coming, it would modify my behavior. I'm not recommending necessarily that everybody's going to switch back to that. What my point is it was effective. Mm-hmm. And after that, you know, my dad didn't have to use the switch on me or the belt. He didn't have to because I knew what the consequences would be of my actions if I did certain things. We don't parent like that anymore. And it is glowingly obvious in every school, every classroom in America, where kids have no respect for their teachers, no respect for authority. We see it all the time. Now, I'm not going to that ship, unfortunately, has left the dock. And I'm not foolish enough to think that it's ever coming back. But I will point out that behavior modification is something we've lost control of in this country. And to watch Donald Trump doing it on an international scale is pretty impressive.
Yeah, I think right now what he's doing is he's taking the belt and he's kind of making the noise so that everyone knows what's coming. And they know Donald Trump means what he says. He did that with his first term, and they know he'll do it again. I think he's even more serious about it now. It's not like he has to worry about running again in 4 years. So he, whatever he wants to do, he's just probably going to go for it.
We are back to the carry a big stick policy when it comes to foreign policy for sure. All right, we'll get to a quick break here. Coming up, Todd Pyro, the one and only, the Fox News star, Todd Pyro, who I saw doing the weekend show this weekend. I've seen him on Gutfeld recently. We'll talk to him about all of that coming up here after the break. Stay tuned.
Through USAID over the past several years, these are some of the insane priorities that that organization has been spending money on. $70,000 for a production of a DEI musical in Ireland, $47,000 for a transgender opera in Colombia, $32,000 for a transgender comic book in Peru. I don't know about you, but as an American taxpayer, I don't want my dollars going towards this crap, and I know the American people don't either, and that's exactly what Elon Musk has been tasked by President Trump to do, to get the fraud, waste, and abuse out of our federal government. Thank you, guys.
Probably just as dumbfounded by all that ridiculous spending by our federal government, it is our friend, the host of Fox and Friends First, Todd Pyro.
I thought my children had taken control of your airwaves.
You recognized that music,
I asked
you?
What it was, and I was thinking about what to say to you in the intro, and I almost said, Todd probably knows that song because he's a dad of young children.
I know that song inside and out. First of all, spectacular song. The only problem is you didn't play the full song. In the beginning, the first person who sings is the guy with the hook who wants to play the piano.
Brad Garrett.
And he says, I've always dreamt to be a concert pianist. You can imagine that when you are a 4 or 2 year old, that word sounds like something else.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
Why are we playing the Tangled?
Because he's Flynn Rider. You missed that last week.
Yeah,
I am Flynn Rider. And so my 4-year-old, we have communicated to her that those are two different words, and she enunciates when she sings the song. Unfortunately, our 2-year-old has gone into daycare yelling the word
yes.
All over, and there have been some calls. So
that's funny. That is fun. Yeah, Carl had that all queued up for you this morning, and we thought we'd play it underneath Caroline Leavitt. Absolutely. Schooling the liberals who gathered in front of the Congress yesterday complaining about cuts to USAID spending. I mean, Todd, how did this happen? How did this get so out of control?
Oh, I deleted the email. You know, I shouldn't have deleted that email from where they enumerated everything.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Caroline Leavitt said it, but like, my problem isn't even with the LGBTQ events that they're funding or the fact that they're doing, you know, programs. Just do that in America. You know, like maybe, you know, there's a lot of your listeners are probably like, well, we shouldn't be funding that stuff, period. But if it's about health practices and things along those lines, you know, there could be a value there. But the fact that we're doing it in Serbia, like, I said this on the Big Weekend Show this weekend. Put on your mask first before you put on the mask of the people next to you. We are $36 trillion in debt. We got to put our mask on first, and then we can worry about the other people. Because nobody else worries about us.
Yeah, I would agree. It's very true. I watched you on the Big Weekend Show. I thought you did a great job, by the way.
Thank you.
I was watching when you guys cut away to the news conference from D.C. for the National Transportation Safety Board. And when the guy in the glasses stood up to start talking, I almost texted you and said that I don't know what's wrong with this guy, but how did he become the spokesman for the NTSB? He was their nerd, right? He was the guy that was telling you the code number on the side of the box. Like anybody listening in that news conference had any idea what the hell he was talking about. And fortunately, the other guy took over again and said, "All right, let me put that in English for you."
Well, I will qualify your comments. He started out exactly like this, and I'm like, I don't care about any of this information. But I will say, halfway through, he got into a few more specifics that I thought were relevant, and we had John Scott. John Scott was literally sitting a foot away from me because we wanted to have him on. We knew this news conference was coming. We wanted to have him on afterward to break down what we heard. And I was making eye contact and kind of like scribbling notes and talking to John during various portions of that. And John latched on to a lot of what he said. So first half, we're looking around like, dude, I don't need this number. This is a waste of our time. But yeah. I thought he improved. And, you know, then the end was impassioned. And one of the questions I asked with the guy who was the, you know, the guy who talks for the common people that you referenced, he says none of these ideas and suggestions are ever implemented when the NTSB gives them. And I was like, really? I thought 100% of them would.
No. The Inman guy you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
I thought he did a very good job. Cam and I, and obviously we've been in these news conferences where sometimes after the third or fourth question, all the good questions have been asked, and then reporters feel like they need to ask something, but what they're asking doesn't make any, like, it's already been answered. And the guy was really getting frustrated with people asking the same questions over and over again.
That always drove me nuts.
Yes.
I didn't go to a press conference when I was reporting on the field, and I still do this whenever I have these opportunities. I don't go there to get myself asking a question.
Yeah.
I go there to get sound for the piece that I'm going to write. So as soon as I get the sound I need, I kind of check out. I want to get going. I want to get writing because I like to spend my time putting pen to paper. These people are like, so tell me, what's a plan? You know, and it's you know, stop it.
Well,
it sounds stupid.
These local news stations, I know I was told this when I worked here in St. Louis, they say it's all about transparency, so you have to let the viewer listen to you asking the question.
That's a smart question. Yeah.
The problem is Grady Trimble, our Fox Business colleague, asked all the good questions.
Yes.
Yeah. But that's not his fault. He's doing a good job. Like every question he has, I know him. I understand his voice. I recognize it. I was like, okay, good question. Really good question. Then other people are like, how do you spell plane? You sound like a moron.
It was ridiculous. Todd, we've run out of time, my friend. Great job over the weekend, though. We enjoyed watching you.
And next week, I want more songs from Tangled. Please make it happen.
We will do it. The order is in. Todd Pyro there, host of Fox and Friends First. Coming up, we're going to get you to a Tuesday. Our friend Phil Balsamo from the Rain St. Louis West. Stay tuned.
Then we are unveiling the Second Amendment summer tax holiday. So from Memorial Day till the 4th of July, you can get your ammunition, your firearms, and your accoutrements tax-free in the state of Florida.
If you ban them in the future, the bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more available.
So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size? If you do, you could cook it at the same time.
Put that double-barrel shotgun and fire two blasts outside the house.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
This is 2A Tuesday, brought to you by the Range St. Louis West.
All right, speaking of that, we got Phil Balsamo on with us this morning, a manager there for the Range St. Louis West. Phil, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys doing?
I'm good. Did you hear Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida there? He has announced that from like Memorial Day to the 4th of July, it's going to be Second Amendment tax-free month. Like that entire period, they're not going to collect any state sales tax on any guns or ammo bought in the state of Florida.
Isn't that great? That is unbelievably awesome.
We need to make Missouri great again, it sounds like, and do the same
Hell
thing
yeah.
Florida's doing. Kim brought that up earlier. I'm like, you know, I know we do back-to-school, you know, sales tax weekends. I don't know why we wouldn't do something like that here. Maybe we can pass that along to our governor or some of our elected officials, and they can get that done.
Let's do it.
I'm sure you guys would be excited over at the Range. Hey, I wanted to have you on because you got a couple things coming up this month that I think people need to know more about. Opportunities to go learn about child sex, child exploitation, and child sex trafficking and all of that. That's coming up first on February 12th. Tell us a little bit more about that.
This is such an interesting and difficult topic. We partnered up with the Child Advocacy Center to do this presentation. It's free of charge, like you said, on February 12th. It goes from 5:30 to 7:30. And this is eye-opening for anybody that has children that you know, maybe young kids that aren't into social media yet, kids that are just getting into it, or maybe they've been doing social media for a while, and you know, they got their own phones, and it's just about how vulnerable children are and how fast things happen. In a very brief conversation that Elizabeth and I had with the folks at the Child Advocacy Center, it was sickening. And it's going to be a great presentation. It is currently full at 60 people. But if you send an email to training@therangestl.com and ask to get put on the wait list, we're putting people on the wait list.
Okay. All right. I didn't know that it had filled up, but I mean, what a great subject, and maybe one you guys will repeat again in the future.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we you know, with these things, you just never know how they're going to turn out. And we asked the folks down there, and they said, hey, we don't care if there's two people or 200 people. And 60 is about as most as we can fit in a room. So that about caps us out.
Yeah, but, I get it.
We'll definitely do it again with them.
Yeah, I think that's great. It's information people need to have. Now, coming up on the 19th, you've got a women's self-defense workshop. And this is one I'd love to get my wife and daughter in on.
Oh, this is such a good time. So we have great partners just down the road from us, Gracie Baja, and they help us put these things on. We go down to their gym, and typically when we do these, we focus primarily on grappling, on what happens when you go to the ground. And in this one, we're going to do some striking. We're going to let the ladies hit the heavy bags and learn how to throw correct punches and that sort of thing, and then we'll get in some groundwork as well. It's only $50, and you get a free set of gloves with the tuition. They're great partners, and it's a fantastic event. Ladies have so much fun. It's always slow to get started because people are very nervous about rolling around on the ground, but then they have a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's a Wednesday night. I hope people can take advantage of that. There's still space in that one, Phil?
Yep. Right now we've got about 25 or 30 ladies signed up for it, but there is still some space that we can take a few more. Sure.
You know, I'm 5'4", so obviously if I'm going up against some bigger guy, that's intimidating because, you know, you'd think, well, obviously he's going to be able to take over easily. But it seems like there would be some tactics, that you would be teaching the women like me, who really you could do some damage. You could at least give buy yourself a little bit of time to get away.
Oh, absolutely. When it comes to striking, you're at a much bigger disadvantage, right? But there's definitely some things you can learn to help you create some space. But then when it comes to the jiu-jitsu, the grappling portion, it's about leverage. And one of the things that we tell ladies with this class is, you know, this is 2 hours. This is not going to make you a jiu-jitsu black belt by any stretch of the imagination. However, it starts the process of you understanding that you're way more capable than you think you are. And you also can get a better understanding of being comfortable on the ground and having pressure put on you. And you know you don't have to panic through that. That's the biggest eye-opening portion of these clinics. Our hope is that it's eye-opening enough that you want to explore it further and come train with us. You know, Elizabeth and I both do jiu-jitsu, and we go at 6 o'clock on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings, and it's a fantastic time. You get to have fun, get some exercise, and learn a valuable skill at the same time.
Yeah, and speaking to the ladies, Liz started that new group out there, right? Lady Sentinel?
Yes.
Yeah, how's
Lady
that going?
Sentinel.
Yeah.
Gangbusters. It's crazy. We have, I believe around 140 or 150 members in this,
wow.
And it's not quite a year old yet. It's amazing. She does such a great job with the topics they cover every month, and we have awesome members that are anything from brand new, never touched a gun before, to competitive shooters, and it's such an awesome group. Very, very welcoming, tons of camaraderie, and it's cool to see people making new friends, and you start seeing the members show up here to shoot together and have fun and go out and do other things together. It's an awesome group.
Yeah, it's really reasonably priced as well. Phil Balsamo with us. He's the training manager out at the Range St. Louis West there at 14803 Manchester Road in Baldwin. Love what they do out there just in general, but I mean, honestly, you guys have got every night of the week a different training class available from concealed carry to self-defense, right?
Oh, yeah. We do. We run the gamut when it comes to firearms training. We have everything at all levels. And we love what we do. We love to share information and knowledge and help transfer that knowledge on to other people. So come out and hang out with us sometime.
Yeah, so it sounds like a fantastic time, and I know if you follow him on Facebook, I love this, you get to see Phil's smiling face every morning, along with Liz. I know why you put her on there, buddy.
Absolutely.
Because you guys do your morning coffee at the range just to talk about what's new and what specials you got going on. You guys do that every morning, right?
Yeah, we try to do it every morning. This morning we've got all sorts of stuff going on, classes and qualifications and stuff, so we won't get to do it this morning, but we do it. We try to at least do it a couple days a week. And it's a great way to stay up on what's going on in here. We cover great topics as well.
Sounds good. I always encourage people to come out there and check out the range. You don't have to be a member. If you are, you get all kinds of discounts on top of everything else. Phil, great having you on.
Thank you very much. You guys have a fantastic day.
Yep. Tell everybody we said hello out there at the Range St. Louis West. We always appreciate their support here at the radio station, of course. And I'm a member, and I love to go out there and shoot, and particularly on days when it's 12 or 15 degrees outside. It's nice and warm and climate controlled, and you can go in and take your time and get free range time and all that stuff if you're a member. It's fun. Have you been out to the range?
Well, I can't remember. I've been to one of the shooting ranges in the St. Charles County area, but I don't think I've gone to that particular one, but maybe I'm mistaken.
Well, we'll have to get you out there sometimes, Kim. And again, therangestl.com is their website if you want to go find out more about training or any of those classes we talked about. Again, the Child Advocacy Center one is full already, but they've still got room in that Women's Self-Defense Workshop that's coming up on February 19th, so you probably still have a chance to get signed up for that, and they got a bunch of stuff going on this week. TheRangeSTL.com, or go to their Facebook page to check them out there. All right, coming up, Kim, what are we talking about in Kim on a Whim?
Well, we have the Super Bowl coming up this Sunday, and I think a lot of people here in the St. Louis area are excited about that, but turns out ticket prices for the Super Bowl are falling. Do people have Kansas City Chief fatigue? Are they sick of the Chiefs being in the Super Bowl? Is that to blame?
Maybe. We'll be back in just a minute.
Kim on a Whim.
The Kansas City Chiefs could make history if they win the Super Bowl again this weekend. Three times in a row, no other team has done that, but people don't seem that jazzed about it. If you're basing that off of ticket price sales, people aren't as excited, and you have to wonder, is this just people tired of the Chiefs being in the Super Bowl? I remember when the Cardinals were winning all the World Series, we wish we were still on that winning streak. But I remember people were almost irritated, you know, like, ah, the Cardinals again. We were like one of the most hated teams, it seemed like.
They hate a winner.
In MLB. People like, and I understand that, people like the underdog. You want to see someone different, right? And so here's why I'm saying this. So the cheapest ticket for this Super Bowl, which is happening in New Orleans, right after that horrible terrorist attack on New Year's Day, those tickets have fallen below $4,000 on the secondary market. Now, to give you some perspective, that's a 30% drop over the last week, and it's more than 50% cheaper compared to last year's record-breaking Super Bowl. It'll be very interesting to see.
But the Chiefs were in it last year.
The Chiefs were in it last year. But it was also in Las Vegas, so that's one theory, is that Las Vegas obviously is like party central, and so maybe people were a lot more excited. The Caesars Superdome holds 74,000 seats, where the Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas only holds about 65,000 seats, so they're also wondering if that would maybe, like, they're just more, the people were more excited, there was a bigger demand because the tickets were harder to come by because there were fewer available. But I wouldn't be surprised if there were some people who felt like, you know, especially the Chiefs fans who maybe went to the first one and then maybe they knew, wow, like we could be back-to-back champs. And so they were willing to shell out thousands of dollars for another ticket.
And then they thought,
you know what? I've gone now twice in a row. I'm not going to be paying more. So you're kind of getting the same fans who feel like, unless you're a diehard Chiefs fan, you might not be willing to pay, I don't even know what the average ticket price is, but whatever, thousands of dollars for a ticket three years in a row.
That's a lot
of money.
I'll take a tour of Europe instead of spending $5,000 to see one sporting event. Honestly.
Now, TV ads are still selling really well. Fox has sold at least 10 of its Super Bowl commercial spots for upward of $8 million each. They were originally wanting about $7 million for just 30 seconds of ad time during the game, and they're selling for $8 million a pop. And guys, that's 30 seconds worth of a commercial. That's insane.
Remember, it used to depend on like the NFL and Major League Baseball and all that when it came to the Super Bowl or the World Series. They're always focused on how big the market was that the two teams were coming from, right? Because they knew that if it was L.A. and New York in a World Series, they're getting millions and millions of L.A. fans and New York fans, and I guess maybe they're worried that there aren't as many Chiefs fans. There's certainly lots of Eagles fans. But again, they've got such an obnoxious reputation as a fan base, that's probably pretty limited to the state of Pennsylvania, and of course, they're right on the border there, reaching over into Jersey and New York, that I would think that, I don't know, maybe that's got something to do with it. I'll be watching. I mean, I'll watch the game just because it's the Super Bowl and it's a party, and I can go have a beer, and it's almost nice to not have a big emotional stake in it. For me, I mean, I'll be rooting for the Chiefs. I want the Chiefs to win. But I haven't been a Chiefs fan long enough to be emotional about it. Mm-hmm. If they lose, I won't break my heart. But I'll be rooting for them.
By the way, Mary on Facebook is correcting me, and she's
no,
right.
She's wrong.
No, I think she's right. I think the Patriots. I'm looking this up. That
they
Patriots.
Lost in 18.
Oh, they did.
To Philadelphia.
I'm pretty sure the Chiefs. I thought everything I've read has said that the Chiefs would be the only ones to do it three consecutive years.
Yeah, they lost would. To Philadelphia in 18.
Okay.
So somebody pointed out,
they made three Super Bowls in a row. Yeah. They played in them, but they didn't win. So if the Chiefs win, this it truly would be. So I'm glad we corrected that. I mean, we were accurate in what we were saying, but I just wanted to set the record straight. But yeah.
Yeah. And apparently somebody, was it Pat Riley or somebody trademarked the word three-peat?
Yes.
So they got to come up with something else if they win that, or he's going to get royalties off of it if they
use it. Well, we're not supposed to be saying, we're supposed to be saying the big game.
That is not true. You can say the word. You're not supposed to run ads selling items connected to that product because the NFL owns it. Like as a news item, we can talk about the fact that this weekend is the Super Bowl because they're happy for the publicity.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't want you running a news ad for a restaurant, a news spot. We're not allowed to say, you know, Joe Schmo's Deli is running a Super Bowl special, 12 wings for 50 cents, because then you're using the NFL's trademark to sell a product, and then they get kind of dicey about that.
Yeah.
And I don't know Joe Schmo, so it doesn't matter. I'm just teasing.
Well, I guess I could see that. Yeah. What's changed, too, over the years, and this has been happening for, I mean, I don't know how long, a decade, but really, it's like every big company that has one of these commercials, it seems as though they release it prior to the Super Bowl.
Sure, you want as many eyes on it as possible,
right? You put it online and people are sharing it and then you're looking.
You can
go
to the bathroom actually when the commercials are on.
I guess that's it. They know that if you're hosting a party or you're attending a party that you're likely during commercial breaks. I mean, some people watch for the commercials, but to your point, Carl, they're using the bathroom, they're going up and getting more food or
they're
a
talking.
Drink refill, they're
yeah.
talking, and so it's so easy to miss it. Plus, I mean, a lot of these parties are just loud, and I actually really enjoy watching football, and something that we talked about with my mom, that woman knew her football statistics.
Did she really?
My dad.
Was she a Chiefs fan?
She was a Chiefs fan.
Okay.
She followed players and their statistics, and she really enjoyed watching the game with my dad. He actually asked her, the very first date he asked her on was to watch a football game, and he said, "Do you love football?" And she said, "Yeah." He says, I don't think she knew much of anything about football at the time when he asked her out, but all these years later, they would have celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary this July. We were going to New Hampshire, where they're both from that area, and they climbed a mountain on their first date at this lake where we're planning to go. But, you know, it's pretty cool that she knew so much about it, and she followed it so closely. And I'm sure, I know my dad loved that. And any other wife who likes that, I'm sure the hubbies love it.
Exactly. It's a rare woman, in my experience.
Yeah.
That is as into that as a lot. Now, not that they're not out there. I'm not saying that. Don't get me wrong. In my experience, let me state that. My wife could give a hoot about sports.
A lot of the women like the halftime performance.
Yeah,
and I just think there are many of them are very classless, in my opinion. And I just am not impressed with many of the halftime performances that I've seen lately.
My wife misunderstands my love of Kentucky basketball as much as you do, Kim.
Yeah, I don't really care about Kentucky.
She just doesn't care. She didn't care. She went to Mizzou. She didn't care about Mizzou either. She just doesn't care about sports. Mm-hmm. She just doesn't really care.
I mean, I'm not a diehard fan, but if you turn a game on, I can get really into the game.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to be like, unless it was like some big game, I'm not going to rearrange my schedule to watch a game.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to it. Ought to be a good game one way or the other, whether you're rooting for the Chiefs or not. Coming up in the next hour, the man, Jason Chaffetz. You've seen him on Fox News. He's going to join us live at 8:20. We'll talk about the tariffs, the Trump winning, and his new podcast. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.